Been so good to me, and the truth is he's been good to all of us. Amen. And what a great and gracious God that we serve. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18. Luke probably wrote more about prayer than any other gospel writer. So if you want to try to find some text and information about prayer, you might want to just take the book of Luke and look through it. Jesus gives several lessons. This is the one where they, Lord, teach us to pray. And so just a great many lessons. But Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives a parable. And I want to focus in on what's said in verse number 1. We're going to look at this parable, but our main thought will be on what's stated here in verse number 1, and preach to you this morning about the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. Look, if you would, in Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, This is what he wants, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the reason he's giving us this parable is he wants us to always pray and not to faint. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, this is not saying that when we come to God repeatedly that we weary God. He's not wearied. We can come to him as often as we want to. It never wearies God. He wants that. But it's talking about the unjust judge that was wearied. And he says to us, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning and an opportunity, Lord, to begin to focus our minds on prayer. Lord, we come to you because you know all things. Lord, you know exactly our need when it comes to prayer. And Lord, you know how to help us to mature and grow in our prayer life. Lord, we confess that we need you. We are as your disciples were. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I believe most believers here this morning, this service would say, Lord, here's my prayer life. Change it and make it what it ought to be. So, Lord, I ask you that you would speak to our hearts, please, this morning, that you would trouble us and convict us and stir us. And Lord, help us, because of your word this morning, to leave this service with a renewed zeal to pursue you in prayer, Lord, to spend time with you in prayer. And God, I just ask that you'd help me to be able to communicate. And Lord, the truth this morning, and that it might help your people. And God, we'll praise you and thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. So we are prayed about this, and this month we are focusing our attention on prayer. September, we said supplication. There are many different words that you can use for the word prayer. And we've offered you a challenge. That is in your bulletin. There's, on the back of your bulletin, there's a list of unsaved people. And that's at the top on the back of your bulletin. So I'm not asking you to pray for every single one, though if you want to do that, that's fine as well. But to at least focus in on the unsaved that we have listed there and pray throughout this week consistently that God would save them. And I just want to encourage you, if I can, exhort you to do that. If we find out you haven't done that, you're going to be fined $1,000. And now, we're not going to fine you. But we just hope that you'll engage in prayer. These folks need to be saved. You've got loved ones that need to be saved. And we want to exhort you to begin to pray earnestly that God would open up their hearts to the gospel of the Lord Jesus and that they would be saved. And notice Jesus gives us the parable that tells us how important prayer is. He is stressing to his disciples in verse number 1 how critical a life of prayer is for believers. Sadly, many believers don't really look at their prayer life as a vital part of their Christian life. But that's not what our Lord teaches us at all. He's teaching us it's a major component to your Christian life. And by the way, He has the right to teach us and tell us this because He's our Lord, but He also has a tremendous example as a prayer life. You look at the life of Jesus, you'll not find someone who had a greater example of a life of prayer than the life of our Lord Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, Jesus is praying, and He's going to call disciples and make them His apostles. And Jesus doesn't just whisper a little short prayer and then hope that God allows Him to guess right on the 12 that He would select. You'll read Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It says, it came to pass that He prayed all night. He went up into the mountain and prayed the entire night, continued all night in prayer to God, over choosing the 12 disciples that would become the apostles. In Matthew chapter 14, there's many things going on. Jesus was very busy, but He never used His busy life to excuse prayerlessness. John the Baptist has been beheaded. He fed the 5,000 with just a couple of fish and some bread. And then He sends His disciples out into the Sea of Galilee. And He stays up on the mountain and He prays. And again, evidently He prayed all night long. Verse 25 says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now, I'm sure He wasn't praying about walking on the sea, but He prayed all night to the fourth watch. Preacher, what's the fourth watch? The fourth watch is from 3 o'clock a.m. to 6 a.m. So He put them on the boat. He went up in the mountain, prayed all night, and met them out on the ocean at 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. Jesus exemplifies how important prayer is. Of course, we can't leave this without noticing Him in Matthew chapter 26 when He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, our Lord's in the garden and He is in great agony. Can you imagine facing the cross yourself and then just eating a meal and going to sleep, facing the cross? Jesus is going to take the sin of the world upon His own shoulders. He's agonizing in prayer, and He is praying continuously. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He was in great agony of soul. Has there been a time in your life that you were long pouring out your heart in agony before God for an answer to prayer? Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 44 says how it was for our Lord, and He being in agony, prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was pouring sweat, and it was so much, it dropped thickly to the earth. I tell you, it was not a matter, now lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. This was an agonizing prayer. Our Lord certainly knew how to pray, and He is the one instructing us here on the importance of prayer. Notice, first of all, He tells us about the duty of prayer. We get the duty of prayer in that little word that men ought always to pray. That word ought. The word ought there is suggesting to us that it is mandatory. That we are obligated to it. It is a must. It's not something that we could do or not do. It is something that we must do. We are obligated as followers of Christ to be men and women of prayer. Often, we think of our prayer life as optional. Now, we have to be honest about that, because if we're going to cut anything short, it's usually our prayer life. We get up late, not on time in the morning, and we don't have much time for devotional time. We may read a little bit of scripture and then run out the door, and prayer usually gets pushed to the side. And God tells us in His Word how vital prayer is. It's not optional. It's necessary. We must think of prayer as not like a spare tire. And I'm afraid the honest truth is often we do that. Right? We pray little prayers. Lord, thank you for this meal. Bless this food to my body. Or we pray the little, Lord, now I lay my head, you know, a little evening prayer, a little short prayer. I pray that my soul to keep. And then we just go off to sleep and we don't realize we're making light of prayer. It's more important than that. Amen? It's not these little rote prayers. It's not just saying the words of the model prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. God wants us to spend time with Him. And He's saying to us, it is vital that you do that. You have to do it. It is a must. Men ought to pray. The prophet Samuel said in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 23 that it would be a sin if he did not pray for Israel. Isn't that what he said? I mean, you can bear witness to that. He said it would be a sin. If I don't pray for Israel, it's a sin. I've got to pray for Israel. We don't look at prayerlessness as sinfulness. Right? We look at prayerlessness. We don't put it on the same category we do with adultery or murder or drunkenness. Amen? There are sins of commission, but then there are also sins of omission. And Jesus is wanting us to understand that it's vital that we have a prayer life. In Isaiah chapter 64, we're familiar with verse number 7. In Isaiah chapter 64, it talks about our righteousness being as filthy rags. Most of us are very familiar with that section of Scripture, but the verse just below that is just as important. Verse 7 says, in Isaiah chapter 64, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." I got that back in 6 and 7. 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we all did fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." And then he says, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name." You find that phrase about 4 times in the Bible. And it's always associated with sinfulness and rebellion. For those that do not call upon His name, it is sinfulness and rebellion. Why is it an ought that we pray? Because we are a helpless people. The truth is, we are a helpless people. We might not acknowledge that, especially if we have resources, we have abilities. We may not acknowledge the fact that we are an absolutely helpless people, but the truth is we are. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how helpless are we, Brother Tommy? Well, we're so helpless we can't take the next breath that we breathe without God. Right. Is that true or not? Amen. If it weren't for God, you would not be able to put reason, even small things. Have you ever seen someone who's done this? They were bright and educated, but just one clock out of place. You would ask them a simple question, 2 + 2 is what? And they would rack their mind trying to come up with the answer to that. Amen. Watch the person who had a stroke. Thank God it was a light stroke. And he was struggling just to say words. And I could tell, It was almost like he was claustrophobic and he was wrapped up in a very closed closet. In his mind, he was trying to say certain words, but they just wouldn't come.
Amen.
We need God.
Amen.
It's not just for our physical well-being. We need God in every aspect of our life. Sometimes we are not doing well spiritually. It's because we don't realize how helpless we are spiritually.
Amen.
How was it that you became a born-again believer?
Yes.
If you've been saved, you ought to know how that happens. Amen?
Amen.
How was it that you became a born-again believer, new creature in Christ Jesus? God convicted you of your sin. You cried out to Him, "Lord, save me." And that's how you were brought into the family of God. Amen?
Amen?
By faith, you believed the gospel of Christ. You said, "Jesus, I know that you died for my sins. I know that I deserve hell. I should spend eternity there. But you died so that I could be saved. Lord, save me." And that's the only way anyone is ever saved. By faith.
Amen.
You're never going to go to heaven because you worked or earned it. You know that has to be true, right? Because if you could earn heaven, Jesus would have never died. If you could get to heaven without the death and resurrection of Christ, then that all of that's a joke. That's the cruelest joke ever told. If you could get to heaven some other way other than Jesus, it's impossible. He would not have died if that's not what it takes to save us from our sins. Amen?
Amen?
You access that. You obtain salvation. You received eternal life by what? "Lord, would you please save me?"
Yeah.
You prayed.
Yeah.
You asked Jesus to save you. And guess what? Jesus did the work.
Yeah.
I just want to remind you of that because nothing else happens in your life spiritually any other way other than that as well. Please get a hold of that. How do I overcome sin? A lot of us try to grit our teeth and make up our mind and recommit to this and do this oath over there when the answer is bring that sin to Jesus and Jesus will save you from that sin. He will set you free. He will deliver you. You say, "Preacher, I don't know. I've been struggling with this my entire life." Yes, and you will always struggle with it until you bring it to Jesus and say, "Jesus, Jesus," in prayer, "Lord, this is my problem." And if you don't help me, I'm going to keep giving in to this sin because I don't have any power to overcome it. And I promise you, if you realize Jesus is the one who saves you, He will free you from that sin entrapment as well. It's the ought. It's the duty of man. Why? Because we're helpless and we all need God. Amen?
Amen.
But then notice He added to that, not just the duty of prayer, but the diligence in prayer. He said that men ought always to pray. We ought to always pray. That means this, that you and I have to dedicate some time to prayer.
Yeah.
You don't pray unless you commit time to prayer.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to develop your life spiritually, your prayer life spiritually, unless you begin to set aside time alone with God and talking with God in prayer. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Isn't that a great example? Daniel, remember that? Daniel chapter 6. A decree was passed that they're not asked a question of any king other than the current king of Persia. And if they did, they'd be cast in the den of lions. And what did Daniel do? Daniel, as his custom was, for he prayed 3 times a day, went to his house, opened up the windows of heaven towards Jerusalem, his windows toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. Daniel was diligent in his prayer life. David said, I'll praise you 7 times a day. I'm saying we can make commitments about everything. We need to make commitments about our prayer life. It is not going to change. It is not going to change unless you and I start addressing the weakness of our prayer life and saying, God, help me to grow in the area of prayer. It's more important, God, than what I've been realizing. Set a time for prayer. Amen. You need to be so committed to prayer that no matter what happens in your life, whether it be good, you know, sometimes good things can draw you away from prayer. How many of y'all know that?
Amen.
Right? Celebrations, events, holidays, vacations, right?
Amen.
Are some of the most dangerous times when it comes to prayer because, I'll just kind of, you know, enjoy myself now. That is a trick of the devil. Brother Bruce has a few tapes on a guy that was used to teach about how to discipline your life and organize things, improve. His name is escaping right now. You know the name.
Zig Ziglar.
Zig Ziglar, yeah. I don't know how that name could escape me. And he got up at 4 o'clock every morning. One time he had trouble with his flight and postponed and delayed. And then he got back home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Bruce, was it 2 o'clock in the morning? And the alarm went off at 4. He said, I got a choice to make here. Either I keep my commitment, get up at 4, even though I went to bed at 2, do my devotional time, my walking and exercise, or just missed today. You know what he did? He got up at 4. Why? Because he knew I got to be disciplined in this. I can't let this slip. You and I cannot let our prayer life slip. It's too important.
Amen.
You know, we have an adversary, the devil, who loves to try to tempt us into letting that life slip. Amen?
Amen.
Be diligent. Be diligent even when it comes to the spirit of prayer. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without
ceasing.
Have any of you ever tried to engage that and say, okay, this day, Lord, throughout this entire day, I want to stay in touch with heaven.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. That is a great spiritual exercise. Because what you realize, when you start beginning to do that, what you realize pretty quickly is, I get distracted fast. He said you need to stay in touch with heaven. I think that's what Paul is trying to get across. Pray without ceasing. Jesus said men ought always to pray. Be diligent in your prayer life. It is our duty to pray. That's how important it is. But it's so important that you and I must be diligent about it.
Amen.
And then notice the last admonition he gives us here in verse 1 of Luke 18. And not to faint.
Amen.
You know what's happened to a lot of our life of prayer? It's gone like our spiritual life often, right? We're doing good, increasing, getting closer to God, really praying, spending time with the Lord, sensing the presence of God, and then something happens. And it's not as earnest, and we're not in there as often, and it's dwindling, and we're back to where we were before we started working on having a prayer life. Not just praying for a little while or praying during the church time or praying during prayer revival, but developing a prayer life. It goes back to what it was before. And Jesus says, you and I need to determine not to faint. Don't give up. The righteous man, Proverbs says, falls 7 times. And he gets up. You're going to find this to be true in your prayer life. Anything worth obtaining is worth giving an effort to obtain that. Amen? And your prayer life is one of the most vital things for you as a believer. So don't lose heart. Don't faint. Don't quit. Prevail in prayer. If you take a step back, acknowledge that step back, and then move forward again. Amen?
Amen.
What are some of the things that cause us to lose heart or faint? Defilement. There's nothing that pours cold water on the fire of prayer like sin. Why do you think the devil spends so much time tempting Christians to sin? Because he does not want us to walk in fellowship with God. He does not want us on praying ground. All of you have heard this. You've been to church any time whatsoever, you've heard this. The devil fears nothing but saints on their knees. He doesn't fear preaching. He loves preaching. He doesn't fear singing. He doesn't fear worship. No, no, no. He fears saints on their knees. Why? Because he knows the power source of believers is God alone. And when you get God involved, Satan always loses. Watch out for temptation to sin. It certainly will dampen your spiritual life. Amen?
Amen.
What about doubt? It does the same thing.
Yes, it does.
Often you're praying and you know you're wanting God to do something and then all of a sudden in your own heart you're whispering, I just don't know if God's going to do that. Have ever battled that before? Praying about something, praying about... And by the way, God has answered your prayers along these lines before many times. Are you ever troubled by that?
Yes.
God has done this thing for you many times before. And now you're facing something almost exactly similar to those things before, and you're weak in faith and doubting whether or not God will do it. James said, if we doubt, what did James say about that? Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You're going to come and doubt whether I can answer prayer, whether I have power to do that or not? You're doubting me? Distractions also. Probably above defilement and doubt, the thing that hinders our prayer life the most are distractions. Amen?
Amen.
I know myself. That's one of the tools of the devil that works so well. You can be doing great, right? And all of a sudden, this big issue comes up. And you focus all your time and attention on it. When you finally get past that for the loot, you look back and you think, what has happened to my prayer life? And on it goes. Amen? Whether it's work problems or family problems or just situations or things change or stuff going on in the government. TVs, music, YouTube, Facebook, right? Many of these things sap prayer. And you and I need to be violent. Violent and removing these distractions.
Amen.
For some of us, it will be like cutting an arm off.
Amen.
Is that true or not?
Yes.
Because we're so used to doing it, and we're so in love with it, we enjoy it so much, it'd be like plucking an eyeball out. It's more important that you pluck an eyeball out or cut a hand off than you cease prayer.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Let me leave you this last one. Sometimes defeat to us is when we get a delay to our answers. How many of you have ever faced this battle? You're praying about something, praying about something, praying about something, and the answer doesn't come, and there's no movement, you don't see anything, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you think, man, I'm just wasting my time. Nothing's changing. He's not changing, she's not changing, that's not changing, they're not changing. What am I doing? Just talking to the carpet? I'm getting nowhere. How many of y'all faced that before? You know, Jesus gives more, He addresses that more than any other problem we have in prayer. He addresses this delayed response from God. Sometimes it seems delayed. And He does it in this text here, doesn't He? He says, be like that widow that goes to the unjust king, the wicked king, and keep on asking, don't lose heart, don't faint. And I'll leave y'all with this. I was telling some of our folks the other day, praying for their lost loved ones, I was reassuring them, God is at work in their heart. When I was unsaved, my pastor that lived next door to me, Brother Otis, and then the mayor of the little town that we lived in, Pete Hilton, I was getting in trouble in high school. One time I was put in the back seat of a car with my hands behind my back, taken down to the sheriff's office. And it's not because I harmed anybody, you know. I left school when there was this old abandoned house there, and there were rocks on the road, and this looked like that house needed the windows busted out of it. Nobody's living there anyway. Guy comes out and says, I'm going to call the police. Call them. Next thing we know, we see police cars coming. I scurry up, me and my friend scurry up in an attic. I crawl all the way around to the backside, get as far away as I can. He's right at the attic. He gets up there and shines the light and says, come on down. I'm like, whew. And I am being quiet as a mouse until I see that flashlight coming around the, I think he ratted me out. Well, I think he did. Comes around the corner. Come on out. We're standing by the police car. And my friend was there. I said, let's make a break for it. I mean, I'm racking up on brilliant. Doing brilliant things this day. I'm stacking them high. And as soon as he said, K, and said, okay, I cut loose. I look around, I'm the only one running. I'm running, and they're back in their cars. They're chasing me over the railroad tracks, you know. And a lady police officer gets out, draws her gun. She says, stop, or I'm going to shoot. And this is honest truth. I said, this is a woman. She might shoot me. There was a guy, I probably kept on running. And they put me in the back seat of the car, handcuffed me. I'm brilliant. But all the while, two men were praying, God, save Tommy. Every day, save Tommy. And what the Holy Ghost was doing in my heart was just tearing me up on the inside. Convicting me. I got so tired of sin. I didn't want to live that life anymore. I was tired of messing up. Tired of getting in trouble. Tired of what sin. Where did that tiredness from sin come from? That didn't come nowhere but from the Holy Ghost of God. Because men were praying for me. And I want to assure you that are praying for lost loved ones, God is doing the same thing in their life. So just because there's a delay, don't you faint in praying. Amen?
Amen?
Prayer is important. It's critical to our Christian life.
Yes.
John Wesley said this, that God does nothing but by prayer. Think about it. Write that down. Think about it. God does nothing but by prayer. Boy, if that's true, prayer is important. Amen?
Amen.
Let me invite you this morning to an altar. Maybe we can start by saying, God, help me with my prayer life. Lord, help me to get engaged again. Start working on being the man of prayer, the woman of prayer I need to be. Or if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, let me tell you something. God may have answered some of your prayers, but He's not obligated Himself to you to answer your prayers. If He's answered your prayers, He's answered your prayers out of grace because He wants you to know He's real and He's trying to get you to come to Himself. And what you need this morning is Jesus. Amen. If you're lost, come receive Christ this morning. Let Jesus save you. If you're a Christian and you're struggling in your prayer life, why don't you come this morning and ask Jesus to help you make prayer a priority again. Amen. Would you do that? Let's stand for prayer. Father, please help us this morning. Lord, you're the one that said in your word that men ought, we ought to pray. We have to. It's a must. We can't do without it. You said, Lord, that we're to pray always. God, forgive me for being in and out, up and down. Lord, help me to be far more consistent in my prayer life than I've ever been. I pray, God, that you'd help it to grow and increase. Lord, make me a man of prayer. Or teach me to pray as Christ prayed. Lord, help us to pray as the apostles prayed. Lord, make this church a house of prayer. Lord, if it's to be a house of prayer, there has to be men and women who devoted themselves to a life of prayer. God, would you start that work in us this morning? In these altars, God, help us to come and say, Lord, help me in my prayer life. Or if there's one here this morning that's lost, or any number that's lost, would you help them to come and say, Jesus, save me. Help them to call upon your name, ask you for salvation today. Or help us, please, Lord, just to do your will. As we sing this song of invitation, help us, Lord, not to be concerned about any other thing but doing your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to page 275. 275. Do you need to come, or will you come to pray? Will you ask God to help you this morning?